This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Urban Champion, are you tough enough to take on the baddest guys on the block? And welcome to Nostalgia, the only podcast playing every NES game in chronological order. I'm Mike.
I'm Sam.
I'm Joe.
And I'm Sean. And guys, I just have a little disclaimer about, about like our sign off. Mike, you have this wonderful sign off in which you advise everybody to play it yourself if you can. And I want that to be clear that that is no way an endorsement to buy any game. Because if you bought this game, I'm really sorry, and I don't want you to hold it against us.
I never thought of it like that, that I was telling people to spend their hard-earned money on crap.
Yeah. You said this in the episode where it's too late.
It's too late.
There are some angry people who are like, you know what, I'm so mad at them, but I'm going to listen to this episode. Just this way I can feel like I got my money's worth. I just
Should we just get into the essential votes?
They're buying the experience.
Yeah, so we're talking about Urban Champion, a game that Nintendo decided to make. It's loosely based off of like their box Game and Watch game, and I only say that because it's like the same thing with like the 2D, and you go back and forth between two characters, but you know, it's different enough that I guess like it's different enough in the fact that this is 8-bit and that was no bits, that was just lights. That's what the Game and Watch is, if you think about it. For those that aren't familiar, the Game and Watch is like a series of things Nintendo was doing alongside their arcade games and stuff like that in the very early 80s, and there's some cool stuff in there, and I would never recommend buying a Game and Watch because they fetch like high prices for what is essentially like a little toy that Tiger Electronics would later sell in like kids' meals. But
because it has like a collection of different like shaped lights, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's what it is. You can see LCD, if you tilt it in the right, like in the sun the right way, you can see every single sprite.
I played stuff like that when I was a kid,
but never an Game and Watch. It's an unfortunate thing of mine too that I've never owned or played a Game and Watch, and I'd really like to.
Some Disney creations that are very similar.
Star Wars one, which is technically a Disney one now.
Look at that. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's very interesting. Growing up as a kid, I did play the Game & Watch collection on Game Boy, and I just had no idea what that was. My mom got it for me because it's a Nintendo game made by Nintendo and had Mario and stuff on it. And what they did was they took, besides Mr. Game & Watch, they also had a version that they Mario-fied everything. So if it was like Manhole, this time it was like you could play the original Manhole, or you could play this version with like Yoshi in the middle, and he would use his tongue to keep the manholes up. It's pretty cool. I gotta say, Game & Watch collection is worth checking out, any of the versions really, because they each have different games. So volume 1, 2, 3, or 4.
Yeah, so some stray thoughts on the Game & Watch collection.
Honestly, I'd try to talk about the Game & Watch collection more than Urban Champion. So I think, you know, just real fast, Miyamoto is listed as a producer of this game, but I'm not going to hold that against him.
You
know,
like, here's the thing about the artistic process. You know? Like, you got to just get everything out of there because you can't just like hold on to an idea. You got to get everything out.
Right. He had so many good ideas in Super Mario Brothers. And then occasionally these weird ideas would leak into the game and someone was like, oh, save it for that other game you're doing. And he's like, oh, yeah, Urban Champion.
And they so really like this game.
What?
They like Nintendo has a hard on for this
love
game.
It. They just continue to re-release it. There's even a there's a 3DS version of it.
Are you serious?
Like a 3D Classics version.
No where, way.
But here's the crazy thing about the 3D Classics version, okay? Because they did that for a very rare amount of NES games got this treatment where they like made the games with 3D graphics essentially. It's a whole new sprite work and stuff like that. Like, it actually, the 3D look is like they made the 8-bit pixel art into 3D. They didn't just like...
They just extruded it?
They actually, like, yeah, they make it look like Legos in a way, sort of. And it's like, it's really interesting that someone took the time to not change any of the gameplay, but to change the art style.
I hope they were paid really well.
I think other than Miyamoto being the producer, though, everything remains a mystery. So that's why I say I'm not going to hold this against him, because for all I know, he was just responsible for, like, the color palette. You know, he was like, those colors look good. I joke, but that's an actual job Miyamoto had during the NES launch days. Is like, for every single game, he had to, like, one of his responsibilities was, like, picking out the color palettes.
Pretty important.
This is how these games should look. I think we can just go straight to first impressions. Joe?
Cool. So first thing I thought when I started playing this is kind of like Nidhogg without jumping.
Oh.
It's very much, if you haven't played Nidhogg, I'll just describe what Urban Champion is, because it's very similar, but you square off against your opponent, which is, in my case, was the computer, and you choose which height you want to attack. Up or down. And they either block up or down.
And blocking up is like your face, and blocking down is your stomach.
Right.
And you can also dodge.
You could step back, yes.
Oh, stepping back. Well, no,
it's a dodge move if you just press it once.
Yeah, but like, okay.
No, I agree with you. I'm just saying it doesn't change the manual dramatically.
Yeah, yeah.
Continue.
So you just try to knock through your opponent's defenses. If you hit him in the face when his hand's down, he'll step back a little bit. If you hit him with a power move, he'll tumble back. And
he does like two somersaults. Back.
Yeah, he'll tumble way back. And you just want to get him to his side of the screen. You want to keep moving forward, making him move backwards. You move on to the next screen before he pushes you the other way. So the only differences between it and Nidhogg is it doesn't have any jumping, and it's no fun at all. Because Nidhogg is great.
Oh,
but Urban Champion, I was kind of excited when I saw it was going to be like Nidhogg, and then it just didn't deliver. Something about
everything.
Yeah.
Something
about it all.
Yeah.
Okay, Sean.
The one thing I'll say about it is like, the only thing that I like about this game is like the rough and tumble back alley like atmosphere they're kind of trying to go towards, of just like, oh, we have to avoid the police, like the police are something you shouldn't be around. it's kind of got a little bit of an edge, but other than that, this is not a good game. This is a sequence of playing rock paper scissors until one of you gets to one side. Yeah,
Sam,
this game is farts.
Nice.
That's it.
That's your initial impression.
I guess that's not
fair.
Are you
sure someone
was that your initial
in the room?
Yeah,
when you
was
were
that your
it?
Combined initial no. and essential vote? All
yeah,
at once?
Pretty much. No. All right. So initially, the game, it does look pretty good when you first put it on. You know, it's got a nice little sky background, or there's like a cityscape in the background. There's like some music, I don't know.
Okay, you're just talking about the complete audio vision.
Yeah, but then
the
once buttons get involved, it's a whole different thing.
All right, and I mean like, so yeah, there's some nice little touches in this game, like, you know, the back and forth, and then a flower pot will drop, and if it hits the right person on the head, they'll fall back.
They get stunned for a little bit.
Yeah, they get stunned. Yeah. And the police thing is honestly the only good thing in this game.
It's not good.
Aesthetic touch.
No, but it's not just aesthetic. It affects the gameplay.
That's
why I'm saying it's a good aesthetic touch, but what it does to the game is it basically just says, like, all right, just start over now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it resets you.
It has so many times I'd punched the other guy right to the end of the block. Right, and then the cop comes, and my guy's like, oh, I wasn't doing anything. And he stays at the end of his block, and I go back all the way back to the end of my block, and then I gotta meet in the middle again.
And is there any rhyme or reason to when that cop? I feel
The cop just comes when he wants, but interestingly,
I only got him once.
Yeah, so interestingly enough, I know none of us experienced this, okay? If the timer is up.
No, this happened to me.
Oh. Okay, very cool.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about it? I feel like someone who's actually experienced it should talk about it, because it's very unique.
So, you know, there I was at the end of the alley about to punch the guy into the manhole.
In a 99-second brawl.
Yeah. And the cops come, and usually when they come, you like run to each side. But when it comes, when the time runs out, you can still fight a little bit more. And he just like pulled me away in the cop car.
Yeah, you get arrested.
Yeah.
Just you or both of you?
You get arrested, and then it pushes back like against you one level, you know? So then you just kind
of
like...
You get out of the cop car?
Yeah, I think... Well, you'll get out of the cop car. You just kind of like appear, I think.
Yeah, it's like just taking you back a level.
And I'm not sure if this is like... I read this in a manual, but it was a while ago. I can't really remember. He takes away the person who has like the lower stamina or something like that. Or he takes away the person who's doing the worst or the best.
It's probably the only time that these time limits and these stamina even matter.
Yeah.
So 99 second long fights and 200 stamina points. It's like, just get rid of that stuff. It's tedious. It's unnecessary.
Did anyone like run out of stamina?
No, I never
ran out of stamina.
You gotta do like a two-player where one of us just gets hit in the face over and over.
I don't want to play this game anymore.
See what
Joe and I talked about two-player, and it's essentially just butted mashing to the extreme.
Granted, I didn't play two-player, but I just assumed that's what it would be. Usually like, I'm all for two-player.
Four-year-olds playing Street Fighter 2, you know, like just getting lucky and one of them does a Hadouken, and it's like, oh, I meant to do that. You know, it's like, whatever.
Because what I did notice about the single-player is that if you see his guards down... That's a good time to get like 30 punches to the face before he puts his guard back up. Like you can hit him in the spot that his guard is not a lot before he puts his guard up. So it's like if his guard's up, just hit him in the stomach 100 times, and then he'll be like, "Oh, I should put my guard down and block these punches to my stomach."
If we're talking strategy, I had two strategies going into this.
We can talk strategy.
Yeah. So first strategy was, you know, immediately after reading the manual, and it's like all this stuff you can do, and you gotta watch which way you block, and there are two types of punches. There's your strong punch with B, which takes a little bit more wind up, but it knocks him backwards, and there's your light punch with A, which just kind of makes him take a little step back. So you really want the B punch to land. Yeah. And so the first time I was trying to incorporate all this stuff, you know, I was trying to imagine which way this guy would be blocking, if he'd be blocking his stomach or his head. I was mixing up mine, you know, trying some A, trying some B, trying all this stuff, and I got my ass kicked, you know. The second time, I just went up to him and pressed B as fast as I could, and I won.
Yeah, right. This game would really rock with, like, an NES Advantage, where, like, the B and the A have the turbo buttons as well, and you just hold down the B turbo button and rock it to
him. It's like, really, that's all it took. Yeah. I just waited until his guard was down, punched him in the face, and then repeated. Yeah. And I would get punched in the face sometimes, but so would he.
The A button isn't powerful enough to justify how similar it is in like the amount of time it takes.
There is a slight time difference.
Very slight.
Yeah. It's not like in Punch Out, you know, where which we'll get to, hopefully.
Right.
And if we ever stop playing Urban Champion, you know, where like the different punches actually matter. In this one, it is just a slight time difference.
It is enough though to leave yourself open. Like,
No. Sure. I definitely did get rocked sometimes trying to go for the B.
But when you hit B, he tumbles like two full body lengths back, and when you hit A, he takes a tiny step back.
Half a step.
So I feel like the
risk. It's worth the risk to hit B.
Yeah.
I also just noticed that he was guarding his face a lot more than his stomach. I don't even know if that's just like particular to my game, but over multiple playthroughs, it just seemed to be that like the default was to protect their faces. So I would just mostly hit them in the stomach until they were like, "Oh, I should probably guard that."
I would probably protect my face. I cannot believe we're talking about like the strategy of this game at this length right now.
Well, what'd you think? Here's the one thing that I thought was interesting about this game. The rounds mechanic, and that it isn't just like a constant back and forth, but that the manholes show up just dependent on like how many rounds you have left. So there can come a time where it's like, even though you weren't pushed back all the way to yours, you're both down to your final round. So now there's a manhole on both sides.
Yeah. That definitely made me feel like there was a little bit more at stake there.
There's a gamified element to it, you know, that I like.
It's a cute touch too.
And I like that whole aspect that there's not like a health bar. It's just like,
it's just a manhole.
It's a different way of, you know, don't get to that end of the screen. Don't get to that end of the screen. Yeah. Don't think it was pulled off very well.
It kind of made me think a little bit when I was reading it in the manual, not when I was playing, of Super Smash Bros. In that it's a fighting game where the object is to knock your opponent off of the, you know, the course that you're on or off of the platform.
Leave it to Sam to find a connection to Smash Brothers.
Yeah,
but I could see that.
But yeah, one thing also is the backgrounds. You know, I thought it was cool how the storefronts changed a little bit. And when I say changed, I mean like changed color and the name changed. But this, and I was like, oh, okay, I wonder what happens if I keep knocking him back. I'm going to see more stores. Nope, it just repeats. There's like no art in this game. There's no mechanics in this game. There's one mode and then there's a two-player version of it.
It's kind of like when you pointed out to me that Jimmy Neutron, The Adventures of Jimmy Neutron Boy Genius, that show has like a lot of repeating buildings.
Yeah,
and you know, like they just like if you really look at the backgrounds, nothing's happening, and I'm like, oh, that's disappointing. I really liked this show as a kid.
Here's a fun fact for everyone: go and look in The Adventures of Jimmy Neutron Boy Genius, the TV show, at what they eat for dinner, because it's always weird and it's always funny. Like they'll just eat like 100 pieces of baby corn or something. Like they'll just get one texture and just repeat it over and over and over and over. And all the paintings in their house are the same painting.
I guess that makes sense for why they had that ice cream shop too. Like it's so easy to just CG ice cream. Yeah. Like it's just liquid.
There was one where it was just like a whole can of cranberry sauce.
Amazing.
The time that nostalgia was taken over by Jimmy.
That's how good this game is. Like we're talking about what Jimmy Neutron eats for dinner.
One last little straight
thought. No, it's not the last one.
No, but for me.
Okay.
For me.
Sure.
And then Sean's going to leave and then we'll finish the episode.
There are several different kinds of mics on this show over several episodes. There's the mic that'll take you on he'll take your hand and he'll bring you on a little guided adventure, like exploring this video game. And then there's another one where he'll kind of let one of us that may have found more enjoyment in this game take the reins and express themselves. And then there's Contemptuous Mike, that is one of my favorites to interact with on this podcast because it lets us talk about Jimmy Neutron for a good like 5 minutes.
Here's the thing, okay? It's like and this has happened now for the third time, if I think about it. It was maybe the fourth, okay? Gyromite's the first example. Stack Up's a huge one. Maybe Donkey Kong Jr. Math, we got there.
Yeah.
And now we're getting here again with Urban Champion. The problem is with games like these is that they make me lose faith in these video games, like the concept of what we're trying to do here, play all these games. I knew that there were going to be bad ones. I didn't expect them to be this early. And I also didn't expect for kids to be shelling out $35 in 1986.
It's like $300. For these games.
It's like, yeah.
It's a little bit of exaggeration.
It's like,
yeah.
It's like $4.50.
Okay.
It's crazy that that these games get by and everybody talks about how good the games were on the NES. And it's like, it's very easy to forget Urban Champion. Nintendo doesn't want you to, but yeah, it's very easy to forget.
Why do they parade this game so much?
They love it. They love it. I've seen more ports of this than Mach Rider.
It's
crazy.
If I put myself, though, in the shoes of someone not recording these episodes, but just listening to them, I would love hearing the episodes like Mario Brothers and the great episodes, but I think I would also love hearing the bad episodes. Like, I don't want to play those games, but I want to get to hear about
Jimmy Neutron also.
Listener, do you like what you're hearing right now?
Yeah.
Why don't you write in at contact@nostalgiacast.com with your thoughts, maybe a question, maybe ask us something different than what James from Milwaukee asked us the other day, and we'll answer that question. So I have to kind of like close this out now, but I just wanted to ask if any of you guys know what it takes to become the Urban Champion.
I played up until like round 18, and I don't think you can be crowned champion. There's just going to be another punk on the next street corner.
Yeah. Okay. Violence just makes more violence. Is what I learned.
Violence
from this
begets violence.
I don't know. I didn't even. It didn't even occur to me.
You
that
didn't.
There was
you
a way
didn't
to
think
win
you. You thought you were the Urban Champion from the start. No one told you. It wasn't like a brawl has broken out on 45th Street. You are the Urban Champion.
Well, I was just so programmed from Mach Rider to just assume that
the title
character
is the Urban Champion.
Yeah. So, Sean, you were on your 18th fight, right?
Yeah, 18, round 18, like my fifth win or something.
You probably, your fifth win. Oh, okay. That's a big difference, okay? So your fifth win, so around like 10 wins, you get like a title. 25 wins, you get another title.
You have three lives to do this.
Unfortunately, You were about 140 wins away.
Oh my gosh.
From being the urban champion.
Does it get more difficult?
You must win 145 fights in a row to be crowned the urban champion.
Does it change or does it? Because I feel like it's difficult for us playing now, but I feel like once you got used to it, you could probably.
It doesn't get any harder in the sense that, like, once you get to level 100, they get really smart.
And so it just gets really, really boring. God.
And, like, visually, nothing changes.
Visually, nothing changes.
Gameplay-wise.
You just, you know, they just put something in there for the extra go-getter.
How did you make me, like, have less respect for this game?
145 fights, and you get the rank of champion. And that's all the time we... No, I'll tell you. We gotta do something about this. So let's bring it in to the essential games list.
I like that you say we gotta do something about this.
Okay? We gotta stop Urban Champion.
We gotta bring this to the vet and get it euthanized. I'm sorry.
All right, it's time for the essential games list. If you don't know what this is, basically we're deciding if these old NES games are still worth playing today. That's because... there's no reason to figure out if they were worth playing then, where we don't have a time machine to go back in time, and even if we did, we'd still have the bias of 2018 on us. So instead, we're just looking at them and how they are today. Urban Champion, you know, it's a fighting game before Street Fighter II.
Yes, that's true.
Before Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the fighting edition. Mm-hmm. Way before Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Or is that Fighter Z?
Fighters. I think it is Fighter Z. I always say the Z is like a Z. You know, like Fighters. So with that in mind, you might think that, like, oh, you know, you gotta give it its due, right? It's an early fighting game. It doesn't have Street Fighter 2. No. We don't do that here. That's not the point. In fact, a game like Street Fighter 2 should be celebrated with that context because of how much it innovated and changed the fighting game genre. We applauded Super Mario Brothers for that with the platforming thing. It really, you know, in a way became like the Citizen Kane of video games because it took so many different elements and made them good. Urban Champion takes a whole lot of nothing and just continues to be a game about nothing. So with that in mind, I am voting no. Joe?
I honestly don't have too much more to say about it that we didn't already say. I think you can skip it, play Nidhogg.
I love that recommendation.
Yeah, Nidhogg I wouldn't have thought of that. I think Nidhogg is the way to do this concept right.
I kind of love when we do that with the essential games list, like where we mentioned, like you kind of did that with Mach Rider, where you're like, hey, here's some other games. Like, I think that's cool when we throw out games that are worth checking out as well.
Yeah.
Very nice. Nidhogg.
I actually didn't even put that together while I was playing this game because I enjoyed Nidhogg, and because I was having so little fun, I was just mindlessly playing this game. I didn't make that connection. I think that there's a little bit of presentational polish on this game that it doesn't deserve. So that's like my one pro, and everything else is garbage. It's not essential.
Well, we would hope we could expect some kind of polish from Nintendo. Unfortunately, it just wasn't in the right area.
Exactly.
I'd prefer if this game looked like Popeye, but played well, it'd be fine. Yeah. You know, not saying that Popeye isn't by any means essential. Sam.
All right. Well, here's the thing. When you look at this game from the contextual lens of someone from... No, it's bad. It's a horrible, horrible game.
Stop while you can.
This is in the jank folder. It's, you know, it's just...
Ooh, a welcome addition to the jank
folder. This one's in the jank folder for sure. It is not a good game. There's no content in this game. And the content that is there is bad. It's not essential.
All right, there you go. Four votes, and it's pretty much not essential. I don't think anybody would even say play it.
It's pretty much not essential.
I'm pretty sure nobody would even say play it. So I think that's all the time we have for this episode of Nestalgia. Join us next time for Tag Team Wrestling, and be sure to play it yourself if you can. Not saying that you should buy it, but if you happen to have it around, Check it out, maybe.
Also, we're selling NES games. Go on our website.
Go on our website. We're selling them at a friendly markup from your pals. No, we're not selling anything. But you should go to the website, nostalgiacast.com, NESTALGIACast.com, because there we have stuff like, is NES baseball haunted? And other cool stuff, too, like some weird ROM hack games that are worth checking out. We do reviews for each game, and they're reviews. They're not really like reviews. We don't rate them or anything. We just kind of talk about them, similar to how we talk about them in the podcast. Also have like cool show notes and stuff that take you to other sites. Gasp. Other sites. No, we'll let you go to other websites. We're cool with that because you know why? We like you just for listening to us. And since you're listening to us, you might as well hit that subscribe button and continue to listen to us.
Smash that like button.
Yeah, we do new episodes every Friday. They release at midnight. And I don't even suggest listening to them at midnight. You know, get a good night's sleep. Get them in the morning while you're at the gym or while you're eating breakfast or... Sean, what do you do in the morning? A balanced breakfast.
Go to the gym, eat a balanced breakfast, you know, don't smoke, don't drink.
Become the urban champion.
Become the urban champion.
Just 140 victories away.
You know, and so again, as a listener, thank you so much for your support of Nostalgia. We thank you for spending time with us. I'm Michael Esposito. You can find me on @EspositoFilm on Twitter, and I'll talk to you soon.
I think that went about as well as it could.
Yeah. It was a funny episode.
I thought it was this Jimmy Neutron great stuff was great.
Is this the worst game that we've played?
No.
What's the worst game?
I think Stack.
Well, you haven't played a lot of the bad ones.
I mean, those don't count. Rob doesn't count.
Rob doesn't count at all?
Yeah.
I'm still saying Donkey Kong Jr., man.
Fair. I don't know. Let's see. I'm trying to think.
Wait till you play Tag Team Wrestling next week to decide if that's the worst game you've played because it's pretty damn bad.
This could be the worst for me if we can't count Rob.
I think tennis is pretty bad also.
Whoa.
I wouldn't say that was bad.
Say it was worse than this.
No, you're right. I just say that because I was playing that earlier.
Chris, what do you think as a listener? What do you think has been the worst game we played?
He only plays Arkham Asylum.
Arkham Knight. Oh, yeah, this game, Urban Champion, we get 0 out of 5 Arkham Knights.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, not Arkham Knight.
Not Arkham Knight.
I mean, yeah.
Let me pull up
Morning one Dove.
Note. All right, guys, remember,
ruin my morning, though.
We're talking about Drakengard.
Drake and Josh?
Wait, that's not the gamer plate.
Oh, it's not? Oh, Drakengard's the game where the child is the... big villain at the end of the game, and also one of the guys is a pedophile, and then the other guy eats the other woman who's hanging out with
you're
the
you're thinking about Drake and Josh
eats children.
You're thinking about Drake and Josh. Megan is the one that is the villain,
yeah,
and then Dan is the pedophile.
Schneider.
Were you the one who showed me the Rick and someone said Rick and Morty is like, oh no, you're thinking of Brick and Mortar, and then someone else was like, oh no, you're thinking, and it went on forever. There's just tons
no,
of
no, I did not send that to you.
What I do is none of your fucking business. Yeah. My favorite game.
There's no more Rogers in the world.
You're right.
Do you know anybody named Roger?
The only Roger I know is that's his last name.
Okay.
No, I know Roger.
Okay, cool.